Hello, everyone, and welcome back to MF Uncensored. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, basically wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and Cinematic Adventures. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul, with me via the Zoom studio, finally. And when I say finally, I mean we worked so hard to make this interview happen. We had reschedules, we had missed appointments, we had constant communication, and I'm so happy that we finally managed to connect. And that's one of the best things about podcasting nowadays, especially with Zoom and especially with all these different technologies. And that's Miss Tisha Winkler. Tisha, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm very well here in Baltimore City, the cold weather.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. We're over in New York. I'm feeling the cold a little bit today, too. But I am so excited to have you on. Like I said just now, Tisha and I scheduled our first interview maybe I think like 2 months ago or something ridiculous.
And yes.
And then I had to reschedule because of work. And then so we rescheduled. And then Tisha had a conflict that she got stuck at. So then we rescheduled again. But she couldn't do January because she's a busy lady. And I respect busy people. And now finally, in the beginning of February, here we are. I'm excited. So Tisha, for our audience, why don't you tell them just a little bit about yourself?
Yes, good morning. My name is Tisha Winkler. I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland all my life. I've been here, you know, all my life. I was always a shy child, you know, growing up as a child. When I was 9 years old, my mother and father, they had divorced. So during that time, I had like a little bit of separation issues when that happened with like my mother and father. So during that time, I don't know. No, the doctors kept saying that I had like panic attacks and all that stuff, but I had like speech issues and I used to stutter real bad. So for like 6 years, I had a speech pathologist, you know, teaching me how to speak and how to slow down. So I overcame, you know, stuttering. I grew up, the children would bully me in school. You know, they would call me ugly. So I really dealt with a lot of depression and even like abandonment when my father left my mom. Actually, my mother divorced my father, but it was just a lot going on in my life during that period. And my parents never knew I was very depressed on that time.
See that, and that's the hardest part. Like I was a kid when my parents got divorced, I was about 6 years old. So right around the same age. And it's a lot more aware now. Like people are way more aware of the psychological toll that kind of takes. For me, like as the oldest son, I had a very different role that was suddenly put into position. Mm-hmm. You know, like I hated the phrase man of the house. I hated. And that was like a super common phrase in the 90s.
Yeah.
There was like a movie with like Jonathan Taylor Thomas called Man of the House or something stupid. I hated that phrase though, because as a kid, I internalized it. And I was like, well, now I'm the man. I was like, I was six. Like, what am I going to go do? Get a job?
Like, yeah.
But like that separation anxiety and that depression and abandonment, like it's tough. And people, I think nowadays are a little bit more understanding. What do you think about the difference between that kind of view now versus when you were younger?
I think actually now I really can pick up on it because I've been an assistant teacher in the Head Start program for like 16 years. So I'm always gravitating to the child that's very shy. And I could pick up, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have to stick with this one because you don't want that same child to go through the same things that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And just to help them with those areas where they're younger.
Oh, see, I like that because, you know, the kids are our future, you know, what we do. And the thing about kids that's so interesting is their problems may seem really small to adults. Like,
yes.
It's not a big deal. For a kid, it's their world. Like, and that small problem that we kind of push away, like, it's not a problem. You're good. You know, I have a mortgage to pay. You don't have anything to worry about. But for that kid, like, that could be the most important thing in the world to them. And, you know, a lot of times adults don't recognize that. So I love hearing, you know, you see that one kid that's a little quiet, a little shy, a little reserved, and you want to kind of help them out of their shell.
Yes. That's very important to me. Yes.
Oh, I love it. So, you know, growing up, your parents get divorced, you're dealing with some bullying at school, you're dealing with some issues. What came next?
During that time, I still had like I was always a friendly person. I did have friends and I did mess up a lot. I ran away for like 5 days. So, so during that time, even though my mother was always very supportive in my life, my father's always been supportive. But during that time, my mother used to take me to the bookstore like once a month to get books. And I was just so gravitated. I was so excited just to get a book. And she used to take me to the library. So I actually knew during that time that really supported me with like the literacy and learning about different authors and books. And look at me today, I'm an author.
That's so cool. Like my wife, the producer of the show, as we like to call her, she's actually studying for library sciences. She's worked in libraries her entire life. When I was a kid, I used to read a lot, you know, and a lot of adults say that. They're like, I used to read all the time when I was a kid. And now it's one of those things where I'm like, I got to read more. And, you know, my wife's been great about, here's a book you may like. She always has a book I may like. Yeah. No matter what, there's always at least one book that I may like. So you then decided that you wanted to be an author yourself. Now, for our listeners, what kind of books do you specifically write?
Actually, when I was like 15 years old, it actually started out, my friends used to tell me, I used to like get blank cards and put like little phrases in their cards. I like being very intimate. But I didn't start writing really until I was like 18 years old. But when I was in school, I used to love like English classes and literacy classes. But it started me on a journey to writing.
Oh, I love that. So you just decided to sit down one day and like, all right, I'm going to write. And then like it magically just happened, obviously.
No, I didn't really. Actually, the funny part about my story, I went to college, and when I went to English 101, I failed 3 times.
Oh, no.
Even though I knew how to write very well, but my grammar would always be a little off. And I was like, very determined. I'm like, God, he has me here for a reason. I'm going back to take this class. So the fourth time, I passed with a B. So during that time, since I passed the English 101, I was, you know, elevated to take another English class. This time I took instead of the composition and writing, I took like I took English 102. And during that time, the professor wanted us to write a 10-page term paper. And I was like, oh no, or a poem. And I was like, oh wait a minute, I have never wrote a poem before, but I said, I'm gonna try. I sat down, it took me like 4 to 5 hours to write a poem. And it was called Hamlet's Second Scene, and I received an A.
Oh, wow. Like, is it from Hamlet, like itself, like a continuation?
No, I just took like different rhymes.
Okay. So
from the scene.
All right. I like that. That's really cool. And it's, you know, it's taken from something that you know, and it's kind of making it your own. And I like when artists do that, because obviously inspiration can come from anywhere.
Yes.
So that's awesome. So you finish school and suddenly you're like, I want to do this like professionally. How did that process start?
That's kind of funny. Again, while I was at the Head Start program, I worked with a wonderful teacher. Her name is Barbie M. Johnson. I was her assistant teacher for 2 years. And during that time, she was writing her own book. And during that time, she decided that she wanted to be a publisher. And everyone kept saying, you need to write your book. You need to write your book. And I was not very inspired to write my book during that time. I had like 400 poems. It just sat in my folder and it just sat there for like maybe like 7 to 8 years.
Oh, wow.
When my mom passed away 5 years ago, it like a light bulb turned on and said, God was like, it's time to write the book. And that's when I wrote my first book during the first pandemic. And my publisher and good friend now and podcast host wrote my first book, Just a Thought, my poetry book.
Oh, that's really cool. Like, I love inspiring stories like that. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm so sorry for your mom's loss, but I'm glad that it kind of turned that light bulb on to get you started. So you wrote your first book. How did like the publishing process? I'm always very curious because writing a book is on my bucket list at some point. Yeah. I don't know what I'd write about. I'm not that interesting, but it's always going to be on my list. And I'm always curious because I've talked to a lot of different writers and they all have a different process from how their book came from concept to finally being on a bookshelf. What was it like for you?
It was a very wonderful experience. I could just say I am very blessed because my publisher, she did the grammar and all the editing. And even during that time, when I was going to one of my churches I used to go to, I had a good friend. She was my assistant. And actually, she would help me like find pictures for my cover of my book. And she would actually, like my second, third book, she would type up everything for me and send it to the publisher. So that part, I didn't have to worry about. I did have to worry about, you know, sitting with my publisher, she had to tell me what things I wanted to do with editing and the grammar she would have to do, and just coming together just to make everything professional. And we always had to meet to see, okay, is this the way you want the book? And It just was a success, and I'm very grateful.
Oh, that's so cool. I love hearing stuff like that. And especially, it sounds like you have a really great team that works with you. And obviously, it takes a village to do anything. And I think having the right people, like, I love mentioning how supportive my wife is. Like, I told her on a Saturday morning, I was like, hey, I've got a podcast at 9 a.m. We got to go to bed tonight, or at least I do, you know, at a reasonable hour.
Yeah.
Like, you scheduled a podcast for 9 a.m. on Saturday. I was like, and 11 a.m. on Sunday. She's like, I, you are ridiculous. But she's still the most supportive person. The other day we were podcasting, and she's like adjusting the studio lights and just kind of also making faces at me to see if she'll make me mess up, but that's fine. But I love having the right people around. Now, for you, though, when you finally saw your book on a bookshelf in like a store, what was that first experience like?
Actually, the first book, I actually buy copies of it. It's actually online. You can, you know, purchase it. I was so excited because perseverance and hard work. And because, you know, when you grow up, when people make fun of you and, you know, with the different issues I was going through as a child, I am so blessed to be an author because I know during that time I was struggling, you know, to put words together sometime. But now it just comes second nature. I can actually sit down and write a book within 2 days now.
Oh, wow. That's incredibly impressive. So you do have other books, though. Like, you had your first book of poems, and then what came next?
Yes, I have another book. It's called The Hole for Romantic, and it's another poetry book, and it was published by Kelly Cruz, one of my mentors that I used to have in my life. Well, she's still in my life. I don't see her that often, but she wrote two of my books, The Hole for Romantic, a poetry book, and she wrote my third book, which is called My Journey Here Was Not Easy, and it's actually my life story.
Oh, wow. That's a big transition, too. That's like poetry, and then like a full like biopic, basically. Did you find it difficult to write about yourself?
Oh my goodness, I cried. I cried for the first one. I think I cried more for the first one because my poems in my first book, my publisher always told me, she was like, I had to tone it down a little because she said a lot of people probably was going to jump off the bridge.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, like, for me, the idea of creating something and sharing it, I find that much scarier than talking about myself. I know myself. Like, if I had to sit down and write down things, I think my challenge would be either being very methodical about it. Like, I have blue eyes. They've been blue my entire life. Like just very like factual almost. Like, so did you have you had no challenge just writing about your own life story?
No, I did have some challenges. I mean, like one time I wrote the book and I was like, oh my God, I had to start this all over again. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to stress myself out. I'm just going to give it to my assistant and she's going to send it to the publisher and whatever editing and grammar that she needs to take care of. I just love that part that my publisher, Barbie M. Johnson and Kelly Cruz, they the best.
Oh, cool. I love it. And you also then started moving into the world of podcasting. How was that?
I don't know. This has been a very funny journey for me. Me and my publisher and my good friend, and I also been her assistant teacher in the Head Start program. We went to Security Square Mall one day in Baltimore, Maryland, and we wanted to buy some shoes because, you know, we love shoes. So we bought the shoes and we saw these flashing lights. I was like, ooh, and my publisher, Barbie M. Johnson, she was like, let's go to that arcade over there. I said, yes, go play some games. I said, you know, we were a little tired anyway. So when we went there, it said the Coyote Man Show Network. So I was like, this is not an arcade, but they had like photo shoots that you can like, you know, take pictures. And we found out then that he has a network that you can do your own podcast there.
Oh, wow.
And they do all the setup and everything for you. The only thing you really have to do is just show up.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And they do everything for you. The cameras and, you know, you're on Roku TV. So we took the photo shoot and the Coyote Man asked me and Barbie Johnson that we want to start our own podcast. And during that time, I mean, I knew about broadcasting and, you know, radio shows, but I wasn't too familiar with podcasting. Mm-hmm. So he had to really sit down with me and actually tell me what it was really about. So within like a month and a half, we started our first podcast at the Coyote Man Show Network as the Book Breakers. And we've been doing this now for 2 years. And now we're doing it on our own now.
Oh, that's
the Book Breakers podcast.
That's awesome. Like, it's funny because when we first started podcasting, we first dabbled with the idea maybe 7 years ago now. Like, actually, probably even longer at this point. I might say even 8 or 9. But 2016, I think, was our first episode. So when we had nobody to talk to. Like, we had nobody knew what a podcast was in 2016. they were around, but they weren't as popular as they are now.
Yes.
So I remember our very first episode. We got this really small blue Yeti microphone. It's called a Snowball. I still have it somewhere in the studio. And it is the most atrocious sounding episode of all time. I wanted to re-release it for our 200th episode anniversary. When I started listening to it, I was like, I can't do this. I can't subject people to this torture because it's so bad. But it's one of those things that, like, you learn and you grow and obviously you change. And now here I am, you know, 8+ years later, and we're having a blast still, which is great. And you're doing it with your friend. Do you guys have, like, a lot of fun just working together on it?
Yes. Yes, actually, we do. And actually, during that time, we separated for just a while. And I just thank God for the journey. I had went on another podcast with a wonderful man of God. It was called What a Difference a Day Make podcast, and I was his co-host. And I did that for like 6 months, and we actually interviewed like different people in the community and, like, you know, different pastors. And then the last show that I was on with the Coyote Man Show Network, I was the host of the Save the Youth podcast, which I did for like 5 months. We interviewed like different people in the community. So the young people could see that people could be very successful, and they can also be very creative in multimedia podcasts and technology.
Oh, wow. Like, you've been on a lot of different podcasts, a lot of different genres too, like a lot of different niches. That's really impressive.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So now you're doing it on your own, though. What was the biggest challenge that you found kind of taking over on your own?
It's funny. Me and my publisher, we're good friends too. It's very challenging at times, but we had so much fun doing what we do. I think it comes with the time, the sacrifice mainly, because it takes a lot of sacrifice to do what you do. But we've been very blessed. We interviewed many different movie producers. We just did a movie cast called The Journey of a Newsome Queen, and with different people in the community, different gospel singers, and just different people in the community, and, you know, publishers and authors too.
That's so cool. So, like, does your show have like a structure that you guys follow, or is it just each episode's kind of a little different?
Each episode is a little different, but, you know, from time to time, you know, we act up.
Kind of keep it fun. If you're not having fun, what's the point? But so can you think of like a favorite memory or a favorite story from the podcast?
Oh yeah, I think it's funny to me. My publisher, she might not think it's too funny. Well, one day we didn't have a guest. So I was getting all like, oh my goodness, we don't have a guest. We don't have a guest. She was like, excuse me, we are publishers. I'm a publisher and you are an author too. And she's an author. She was like, we could talk about our books. So we dragged somebody on there that we knew. I'm like, you're going to do this podcast today. And he was like, he was very professional, but nobody ever knew. And we had awesome ratings that day.
Oh, that's awesome. And like the fact that you were able to kind of pick it up and roll, you know, obviously it's a testament to being a writer is being creative. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure not every episode has been like super. What was like one of the biggest challenges you had with any specific episode or just in general?
Well, when we were at the Coyote Man Show Network during that time, I was working at another Head Start program, and my publisher, she was working on her publishing business. So she would drive there. I would have to catch an Uber because I didn't have time to catch a bus. Mm-hmm. I would be there late if I would catch a bus. So it was very challenging. I had to catch an Uber every Monday to the Coyote Man Show Network. And one day I didn't know that we had a podcast, and I didn't bring any clothes with me. And I was fussing. I was like, forget it. I'm not doing it today. She was like, would you calm down? She's like, I'm going to bring you an outfit. And I had this outfit. I mean, I look ridiculous, but everybody said I look beautiful.
Oh, see, I like that. That's nice.
Yeah.
Now for you though, like what's the goal for the podcast? Like, do you have any big plans coming up? Are you looking to expand? Like, what's going on?
Yes, actually, we're going in a new direction. Right now, we were on like Zoom, we were on Facebook, and we were like, you know, trying to do different platforms. Now we're getting ready to go on StreamYard. We're just going in a new direction, just being positive, just putting ourselves out there, and that God would just, you know, take us around. Actually, we want to go global.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
and nowadays it's a lot easier. Like the reach that you can make with a podcast is wild. Like we have people that live, like listen to us in like New Zealand. I'm like, I'm looking at our, you know, our charts and everything. I'm like, New Zealand, who's finding us that interesting that they're listening from another country? But I've done interviews with people around the world. Like, it's so much fun. And that's half the enjoyment is just kind of getting to know people. Now, for you, though, obviously, you're also, are you still writing too?
Actually, I need to start writing more. I actually started writing two children's books and they're actually done. I just have to get it published.
That's usually like the last part before. So, what are the two children's books about, if you don't mind my asking?
Yes, one is about a teacher in the Head Start program. I just thought I would write something cute, you know, because I'm from the Head Start program. And one is about, it's called Evette Go Back to School. And it's actually about me because that's my middle name, Evette. I
Gotcha.
didn't want to use my first name.
Right. So now you've also got a few awards under your belt. Is that true? Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about some of the awards that you received? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to give honor to God. Me and my publisher, we met a wonderful man. His name is Dr. Frederick Newsom. He actually was on the board with the Stella Awards and the Grammys Awards,
Oh, wow.
but he decided to have his own awards to honor people who wouldn't really reach that far. So he's been doing the Newsom Awards for like 20 some years, and he gives awards to like different people in different categories, podcasts and authors, just different people in the industry and entertainment industry. And the first year, me and my publisher, it was so we had so much fun. She had won two awards for her children books and author of the year. And that first year, I won the Newsom Awards for the most beautiful woman.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
And this year of 2023, I won a Newsom Awards for Author of the Year, Female Author of the Year, and Promoter of the Year.
So, hey, hold on. What's promoter of the year? I figured out author of the year, but what exactly is promoter of the year?
Actually, when I was on the Coyote Man Show Network, and I'm always on Facebook, I would like contact a lot of people and just promoting people like on Facebook, different people. Like they send me their shows, I would share it. Just being more gravitating to people and just helping them get out there.
Oh, that's really cool. And that's how you and I connected. I do believe I posted in one of the 10 trillion podcast groups that there are nowadays. Podcast, it's funny because you mentioned promotion. Like reaching out in those groups is always a wild ride because you're going to get, it's either going to be all the spam, like, hey, I can make your podcast the most famous. But I'm like, no, you can't. Please stop. I'm not giving you one. I like to mess with those people every once in a while. I'll have like a full conversation with them. But, and then you get like the people that are really just genuinely interested in being on shows or promoting shows. And I love connecting with people. And Facebook's a really good way to do it nowadays. So for you though, like what, when you want to go on a show, do you have like a strategy? Do you just kind of look around, see what feels right? What's your process?
I'm a little direct. I mean, it's a little funny with me. I mean, I do look around because sometimes when you put stuff in the inbox, it seems like they don't get to you as quick. I just go right to the messenger because I don't have time.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's one podcast group that I'm in where it's, you know, like one of those like find guests. And I remember posting, like I'll usually maybe once a week, I'll throw a post in there or once every couple of weeks because then I get inundated and suddenly I have like 400 things to schedule and plan. So I remember putting one in a group and not thinking of it. Like 2 days later, my phone starts going off. Like, D -d 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 -d. I'm like, what's going on? It's because they finally approved the post. I totally had forgotten about it. So it's wild sometimes that like it's what you said. Sometimes it's just easier to just message someone and just go right.
I'd be looking. I'm like, did they text me back yet?
Well, now Instagram just added their new feature where you can turn off read mode. So if you read a message, people can't see that you read it. And I was like, oh, that's gonna go bad. I hope Facebook doesn't do that because that's how I do my podcasting stuff.
That's a bummer.
So we are getting towards the end of our time. At the end of all of our episodes, though, we like to play a little game where it's a rapid fire question, an answer game, where I think of a couple of questions. I usually try and tailor them to whoever I'm speaking with. And we just go right off the cuff with some answers if you're interested in playing. All right. So the first one, what is a book that greatly influenced you?
Oh my. Ooh, I have so many. I say Maya Angelou.
Nice. Yes. My wife has a couple of Maya Angelous upstairs. Let's see. What is your go-to podcast aside from the ones that you're involved with?
Oh, let me see. What is one of my favorite podcasts? Let me see. That's kind of tricky because I like a lot of podcasts out there. I will say, let me see. What's my favorite podcast? Actually, it's not a, I actually like Jennifer Hudson radio show. I love it.
Oh, really? I haven't listened to it. I have to add it to my list at this point. I have so many because people ask, they're
And
like,
Sherry.
what was that?
Sherry, I love her show.
Okay. So it's funny. It's like people ask, like, now that I'm doing this so almost like a part-time job, people are like, do you still listen to podcasts? I was like, I can't. I emotionally can't because then I just start thinking, wow, I could do this on my show, or oh, my show does this better. So and I'm glad that you're still always listening. Who is a personality that you would love to have on your show?
Oh, yes. Me and my publisher, we always laugh. We want to have President Obama.
That would be such a show. Oh my God, I totally tune into that show. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. I don't think he can handle you two. He can handle
Well,
an entire country and all that, but like you guys seem like you're tough. I like it.
yes, we enjoy. We just interviewed one of the running mayors in our city last week.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so we had a wonderful time with that interview.
All right, last one. What is a word or a phrase that has described your journey so far?
Blissful.
Very nice. I like that. You know, because especially, you know, we started off, you know, kind of the background and, you know, it wasn't all sunshine, rainbows, and ponies. You know, you got some things that you had to deal with and things that you had to work on. And as a kid who got bullied in school myself, like, I get it. Totally get it. It's funny. I didn't have a speech impediment like that, but I was definitely a little bit shyer, a little bit more reserved. I used humor as a coping mechanism. So I'm funny as hell. I'll say it. I'm a funny guy. But I also was a big like nerd and superhero fan and all this stuff. And all this stuff that's like making billions of dollars now at movies and all that stuff, I got made fun of when I was a kid. I was born in the wrong generation. But we are getting towards the end of our time now. If any of our listeners or viewers would love to learn more about you and what you do and find out more information, how are some ways that people can get in touch with you or find your stuff?
Yes, actually, we still have some shows on the Coyote Man Show Network, and we still have shows, the Book Breakers, on the YouTube, but our new show's on there too. Well, I can be reached at Tisha Winkler on Facebook, Tisha Winkler on TikTok, Tisha Winkler on Instagram. Is it Instagram? And I also can be reached at Tisha Winkler 57 at gmail.com if anyone wants to have me as a speaker or like speaking engagements or if they want to purchase my books
That's
or
awesome.
come on a podcast.
That's awesome. Now, really quick, now that you got my interest, speaking, like you do some public speaking and stuff like that?
Actually, I do, yes.
Oh, so, all right. We got to ask really quick. It's my show. I can go as long as I want. So, like, tell me, like, have you done a lot of engagements? Like, what's going on with that?
I went to like two speaker engagements, and actually, I didn't say it, but I have a women's group that I've been doing for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's called the Voice for the Voiceless on Women's Ministry.
Oh, that's.
So I speak in that women ministry, or sometimes I might bring someone else on to speak.
Oh, I love that. That's really cool. And I really hope that you have the most success with it. That sounds like a really great project.
Thank you.
But that is going to wrap us up for today. Tisha, thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having me, and you have a beautiful day.
Thank you, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.